Okay, the reading is taken from Luke chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. It's on page 988. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Amen.
Amen. Why don't we pray for ourselves and for Will as he comes to speak to
us very much
tonight. Father God, just thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in Scripture. Father, thank you so much for Will and for the time that he's just had in India. And also thank you for his gift of teaching and preaching. Lord, pray that you would anoint him afresh by your Holy Spirit to speak your words to us tonight. And I pray for myself and for each one of us here that we would have open hearts, ears and minds to hear your voice clearly, to be challenged by you and inspired by you as we listen to this talk. In your name, Jesus.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much, Danny. So we are at the end now of a series called the Paraclesis series. So those of you who are visiting, a warm welcome to you. This has been a series which I guess we hope and pray will be like an antidote to the selfish Christian life, which actually isn't a Christian life at all. We hope this will be like an injection that will prevent us from leaving here and not helping others, not reaching out to others, not loving others, not journeying alongside others, not helping to point people to Jesus, who is the great healer. We hope that this series, which has covered caring, loving, journeying, and healing, will be like this sort of inoculation to prevent us, to stop us ever being uncontagious Christians. In a sense, to reverse my metaphor, I'm hoping that we will all be infected with a virus that will make us contagious in our desire to seek out and save the lost. And doing this through being Christ's hands and feet. So drawing alongside others, caring for others, loving others, journeying with others. And tonight, on our final talk, it's about becoming strong at the broken places. Becoming strong at the broken places. Ernest Hemingway wrote in his famous book, A Farewell to Arms, "The world breaks everyone, and afterwards many are strong at the broken places." Now, I'm not a medic, but I can remember being told that, when you break a leg and the bone mends back again, it's actually stronger in the area where the break took place than the rest of the bone had formerly been. I kind of know it works in carpentry because I've mended things with some very powerful carpenter's glue called cascamite, and when you join two bits of timber together, if you then try and break it, you'd kind of expect it to break along the previous break. It won't do that. It'll find somewhere else to break. So I think there is truth in that axiom. And I've just returned as many of you will know, from a trip to India. And what I saw there has really helped me understand this concept. I've really seen it work in action. And so I felt that the Holy Spirit just encouraged me to weave in some of what I saw in India, because everyone's been asking me very sweetly, "Will, how was India?" But try and weave it in to the message tonight. And there are broken places in our journeys of life. I am very privileged as your pastor to know of some of your broken places in your lives. And the good news is, because of the lights, I can't really see who's who out there, because I don't want to give anything away. But I know how profoundly broken some of you have been in the past, and how much healing you have received as well. And the thing is, if we can journey with others at their broken places, if we can come in and join them at their broken place and journey with them, we can help bring strength and the needed healing. Now, I would be lying if I were to say that broken places always end up being stronger than what they were before. Broken places can remain weakness, but equally, they can become strengths. And I'm sure many of you, that will resonate for you as you have used difficult times in your lives to help others when they go through a similar experience in their lives. I always, for me, it's to do with bereavement, particularly people who've lost children. And I see God redeeming some of the immense pain in my life to help other people. And I kind of find myself nodding, "Thank you, Lord, that you have redeemed that dreadful experience in a positive way that I can help other people." And as I say, I saw this demonstrated in India. I saw how weakness can lead to strength. Strength can flow from weakness. And if you'll excuse, you know, a few pathetic little videos and little happy snaps I took on my phone, the first project we visited, and I was, you prayed for us, you commissioned us, and thank you for your prayers. We had such a good trip. There was me, Angelina, and Jill Gawthorne, the three of us. And the first project we visited was in the slums in Pune, and it was a house, a safe house, with 11 street kids who have found the love of Jesus. So actually what I need now is video number one. And while that is just, there we go. Thanks, Emma. So we can stop that there. Yeah, so anyone recognize that children's song? It was so weird traveling 6,000 miles and hearing that, the same children's song. So guys, many of you here will be much more intimately aware of projects like this. And for me, I admit it was just a massive eye-opener. But these children have been rescued from the street, some from prostitution, some have been abandoned, some have just been handed into this place, and none from a Christian background. But in this safe house, those 11 children have their parents, a couple called Lawrence and Annie, who speak perfect English, on fire Christians. They could be earning a lot of money doing something else, but they choose to devote their lives to parenting these waifs and strays. And of course, through their love, they have become Christian. And there's a little school at the other side of the road called the Shining Path School or something. And it's open to all, all the Hindus and the Muslims. And it's a good school. It's run by really dedicated people. And it's just a way that the gospel, the kingdom of God, is shone into that slum area. And Annie and Lawrence, they knew how to comfort. They knew how to bring comfort to these children. They knew how to come alongside the brokenness of some of these children. I'm not a psychiatrist, but I imagine if you're abandoned as a child, it's not going to do you any favors emotionally. So they come alongside them and they bring comfort. They strengthen them, build them up. They help them find healing, wholeness, and inner fortitude. And when we comfort, when we get alongside people for the journey, we are providing strength to that person for their journey. And we're fulfilling the law of Christ. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So to turn now to our reading. Joe read to us the story of the crippled woman who was bent over. She couldn't straighten up. And Jesus sees her. In a lot of the other healing parables, the bleeding woman, the people waiting by the side of the road, they cry out to Jesus, they go to Jesus, they try and touch Jesus. But this time, Jesus sees this woman, and he goes to her. He lays his hands on her, and he heals her, and he sets her free from her infirmity. And her joy can only be imagined. Jesus sees the pitiful woman, and he speaks words of freedom to her. Words of freedom to her spirit. Her spirit was in bondage, and he loosed her in his name. He touched her, pouring strength into that pitiful, twisted body, healing into those disabling wounds. And she journeyed out of church, out of the temple, that morning, a transformed woman, not only physically healed, but with a new spirit made whole through the power of Jesus. Wholeness and transformation. Now, this photograph is of a place called the Mukti Mission. Mukti means freedom. Those of you who've done the Freedom in Christ course, you'd absolutely love it here. And we saw this was started in the late 1800s, and it now has 700 girls. The lady who started it, who was an Indian lady, was outraged at the way women were treated in India at that time, and indeed still happens today. And so started this mission. If we go to the next slide. So there are 700 girls there, and this is the entrance. It's quite sort of colonial. It's all, 1890 vintage, with lovely verandas outside. That's the entrance to it. The next slide. And this is one of the rooms with ceiling fans. Very Spartan accommodation, it has to be said. But there you have some young girls who I think these ones had some kind of sight problem. Some of them were blind. They had suffering from impaired vision. And we're going to now... let's see the next slide. This is the church, lovely, massive church, beautiful stonework, and all the stones of the church came from the wells that were hewn out of the rock. In an interesting story about the wells, there's quite a few of them, and whilst all the kind of indigenous wells around the area dry out regularly, these ones have never dried out. And it's quite a witness to God's power that the Christians' wells never dry out when all the other wells do. And so all the brickwork came from the wells. Next slide. And there's also education at this center. Education, I when I think back of how I squandered my education for them in India and in this place, education is like gold dust. It's their get out of jail free card. It's their way to a successful, fulfilled life. So education is really important, and there's a wonderful school there as well. But I just want to have a quick look at the video number two, which shows some of these girls who suffered from visual impairment singing a song, which again, some of you may notice. So if we could have the next video, please. Thanks very much. They're singing about the Holy Spirit, and there was a lovely, really pretty little girl there who was dumped because she was albino. And there was another baby there who was dumped in a plastic bag a few months back, brought in by a farmer who discovered her. And this is the only show in town. There's just nowhere else to take these children who are dumped. And the baby is now thriving, perfectly okay. There's lots of young girls there up for adoption. And there's even a 99-year-old woman there who's been there her whole life, has experienced the love of God so powerfully that she is now, you know, she's been on the ministry team, so to speak. She's kind of graduated up from being a baby all the way through to helping and is now kind of one of the elders there. And they don't talk about conversion there, because clearly this is an explicitly in-your-face Christian mission. Bible verses plastered over every single wall. They don't talk about conversion, they talk about transformation. And that is what captured our imagination so much. The transformation in these girls' lives was incredible. We're going to see the next and final video in just a moment, which was some elderly ladies. So these ones were dumped many, many years ago because they had something wrong with them. In their case, they were blind. And they've grown up, some of them well into their 70s and 80s, and they sit in this room basket weaving, and they each have a kind of different job on the production process. Some of them can see a little bit. They're the ones that are putting the kind of the bright flowers on the baskets. They need to know where to put them. But others are completely blind and just do everything by touch. And as they sew, they sing hymns. Thanks very much. The risk of embarrassing—we can cut the slide now. The risk of embarrassing Angelina. We were always asked to pray at the end, and I prayed a few times, and they translated, and they asked Angelina to pray. And it's been so long since she spoke in—was it Hindi? Yeah, that she was all over the place. I thought there were lots of holy pauses. But I looked up, she had tears flowing down, she couldn't stop weeping, and she couldn't remember her Hindi. But anyway, I think the ladies there got the message. These women are transformed by the power of Jesus. This is what this is all about. It's all about Jesus. And the incredible thing, and this is really, I'm sorry if it feels like I'm sharing my holiday snaps with you, but this is the point I want to hammer home tonight, is it's all about Jesus. And Jesus, and He only, can bring the kind of transformation that you see that turns an abandoned, helpless, perhaps blind, disabled child with not a hope in the world in worldly terms, born with absolute zero, in fact, not even with zero, like starts off at minus 100, okay? And because these wonderful people love these kids so much, because they understand paraklesis, because they get alongside to love, to care, and to journey with these kids from naught to 99, they are transformed. And these ladies, you know, if you talk to them about, you know, are you upset that Jesus hasn't kind of physically healed your sight? They're not interested in that. They say, we know Jesus loves us. He saved our souls. We're going to look forward to an eternity in heaven. It's like they're almost sort of saying, you know, why do I need my sight? It's spiritual healing that so many people need more than physical healing. So guys, when you're getting alongside someone, when you're praying for someone for healing, always understand that it's our need for a restored and transformed relationship with God through Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is more important than our physical well-being. Those women were evangelists. Apparently, when Indians come round, and obviously, you know, they can talk to them much easier, they could talk because they can't speak English. Apparently, they are the most fearless evangelists. They'll tell anyone who comes in about how amazing Jesus is. And their broken places have become strong. Do you understand where I'm heading on this? Their broken places have become strong. And the truth that we must never forget is that lost and hurting people matter to God. Okay? Therefore, they should matter to us. And that is why, by the grace of God, I think this church is being blessed by the Lord at the moment. It's because we're not just inward looking. I know we spend a lot of time and effort getting our Sunday services good. That's part of our vision. But we spend an awful lot of time and resources making sure that we look outwards, spreading the good news of the gospel by serving in our community. The Bible makes it clear that the way someone far off draws close to God is for someone close to God when they go far to reach them. I'll repeat that. When someone far from God draws close to God is if someone close to God goes far to reach them. And there are lots and lots of people far from God. We know lots of our friends will be far from God. So those of us who are close to God have to travel far to reach them. This is our calling here. This is our calling as a church, is to go out and reach these people far out of our comfort zones. I'm the world's worst offender at wanting to stay in my comfort zone. Far out of our energy zones. You know, it can be exhausting journeying alongside someone. And the whole point is, if we do this as a church, we will bring the kingdom of God into people's lives, and lives will be transformed, hope will be restored, and wounds will be healed. Can you imagine what would happen if every single church in this nation was totally sold out on doing this? There wouldn't be a community that wouldn't be impacted. There wouldn't be a group of people who weren't talking about, wow, do you know what happened? There's guys from the church came and they did X, Y, and Z, and there's somebody from the churches. I can't understand why they're doing it. This is amazing. Jesus says to his disciples, by your love for one another, people will know who you are. We must lift our eyes and gaze upon the cross. We must look to the cross. Isaiah writes, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The message of the cross is that God not only saves us and forgives our sin, but that he heals a wounded soul. He heals a wounded soul. And I know there will be many people here with wounded souls, and there are even more people outside this building with wounded souls. You see, Jesus bore all of life's trauma on our behalf. He paid the ultimate price for our freedom and our healing. When we come to him and are willing to take off our bandages, letting the wounded healer touch us, letting Jesus touch us, then we can come alongside and journey with others, helping them to take their bandages off, allowing the healing to flow to them. And I know there will be people who don't want you to get close. And when you, metaphorically speaking, try and get them to take their bandages off, they won't want to. Peter was talking about this last week. Some people are stuck in the paradox of the comfort zone of their wounds. They don't want to leave their grief. They don't want to leave their bereavement. They don't want to leave their hurt behind. You just need to commit those to prayer. But this is all what paraclesis is about, coming alongside with the comfort and strength of God and making them strong at the broken places. And I pray that you will have that experience journeying with others. May we be a church that reaches beyond these four walls and into the brokenness on the streets around us, coming alongside and people and leading them to the healer. And the healer is Jesus. Amen. If we want to grow as a church, if we want to see the kingdom of God grow here in Buckingham and nationally, nothing will help us do that better than being a community that embraces this idea of drawing alongside, loving and caring in the name of Jesus. Okay, the two have to go together. We can't just be social services, okay, and not tell people why we're doing it. We have to do all these things in the name of Jesus so that they might see Jesus. And you know what? If we can't do this, we might as well pack up and go home. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." The truth of 1 Corinthians 13, which I've probably heard read at weddings more times than I've had hot dinners, has really come home to me through this sermon series. It's no good just standing on a street corner and preaching hellfire and damnation, although that is a good message in some context. It has to be accompanied with love. We don't have to be bound by the crippling wounds of the past. Do you hear that? We do not have to be bound by the crippling wounds of the past. I can think of a few people who are bound with crippling wounds from the past. It doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to live with the pain. We don't have to live at a broken place. We can be liberated and set free in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.